Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's golf's next major, the world's best eye, the prestigious Ferrella Maker Trophy, and Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors and his 16th overall, the PGA Championship at Bethpage this weekend. On CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Later this hour, at around 20 past, Joe Micheletti of NBC Sports will talk about the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. The Bruins won tonight 2-1. Tuukka Rask, 35 saves. And they lead the series 3-0. I bet on the Bruins tonight. And so they're up. I mean, this series is over. Carver High, what do you think of that? That's a done deal.
It is really strange. I don't think it's, you know, a big factor. I know I didn't use it as an excuse per se when the Islanders got swept, but because I thought they played pretty well in games 1 and 2. Islanders sweep the Penguins. Carolina goes 7. Carolina sweeps the Islanders. Carolina sweeps the Islanders. The Bruins play a long, tough series with the Blue Jackets, and now the Bruins are on the doorstep of sweeping the Hurricanes. So it's pretty weird how it's kind of played out that way throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs so far, that when you sweep a team, you're then getting swept in the next round. It's kind of strange and bizarre, but I think it's over. Bruins would finish this thing off next game. Shut them down.
So do you think, they've won 6 in a row. Is there anyone playing better hockey than them right now, or Rask?
I don't believe so. I think that they're the team to beat right now. I think that even, you know, at the two teams out west, they're going to beat each other up, I think, over 6 or 7 games. And the Bruins, I think, are the best team left out of the four.
Do you know who the Yankees are going to go with in that doubleheader tomorrow? I know Herman in the nightcap. Do you know who they're going with in that first game in the afternoon against the Orioles?
I'd have to look. I know that they had a problem. Who was going to start Monday night? They were going to use a bunch of different guys, probably like a bullpen game. I got to see who they were going to go with.
You think they'll sweep them tomorrow, or do you think they'll have problems as usual with the Orioles?
Haven't played in a couple days, couple rainouts here, Monday and Tuesday. You know, it's tough to sweep a doubleheader. But they should theoretically take both games, right? The Orioles suck, right?
I think they do.
So.
I mean, I really do. Just so you know, it's 93-79 Warriors, who seldom come out to play. Here's the deal. I mean, except for anybody in Northern California that loves the Warriors, which I can appreciate and understand. I get it. You love your team. Congratulations. But is there anything worse than watching this team just, like, not only win every game they play, but hit every single shot that they take? I mean, is there anything worse than this? Seriously, I can't even take it anymore. I don't even want their games on the TV in front of me. I just can't take it. All I do is sit here and watch them just draining shots and kicking everyone's ass. It doesn't matter who they put in front of them. It just does not matter. And they have, no KD, as if that matters. Everyone thought, like, because no one believes in them without KD, and it's just stupidity because they were winning long before he came around. You understand? This guy has made them even better, more lethal, but he and Boogie aren't playing, and they're still kicking everyone's ass. Mafia, this is like the old team they had with Bogut. This is the championship team that they had with Bogut taking on the Cavs and winning 2 of 3 against them. That's who this is.
Yeah, this is. I mean, you still have the core there between Clay, Draymond, and Steph. I mean, you even still have Bogut there in some capacity. So this is what they did. The Splash Brothers are back right now. We had them for, you know, much of the playoffs. They had trouble shooting the way that they used to shoot. You know, Steph was struggling at times. He had that one game where he broke out in the second half but was terrible in the first half. These other games where Durant's kind of taking the lead and he's kind of just sat back and hit a shot here or there but not hit at his normal pace. Now they're getting the volume again. The two of them are just nailing them.
I mean, it really is unbelievable. It really is. So you watch, I don't know about Carver High, how he feels about it. How do you feel about, because you've already said that you think this is over already. The series is over. The Warriors.
Oh, the Warriors
are
over.
But what do you think of that, just that they're, you know, on the, you know, game one tonight, and they are still on their game and kicking ass, and it's just one, and they never miss. It's like every shot goes down, and they're just, they're laughing through this game.
Look, they're laughing through this game, and they're going to laugh through this series. If I was them, Kevin Durant wouldn't even touch the court against the Portland Trailblazers. They don't need him to beat them. They'll beat them in five, who knows, maybe four, even without him. They should rest him up, get him ready for the NBA Finals, and that's that, because they will need him there. I would just get him rest. They're not going to have any problem with this Portland team. They just aren't.
I mean, you'd think, like, I actually thought, believe it or not, that their best chance to be in this series at all was tonight, because they just played. They won in seven. They won in Denver. They're playing well. They're cohesive. They got chemistry. They're lighting it up. CJ and Dame are unstoppable. And then they go in and really to Oracle and lay an egg. Did they not? I mean, they have just been terrible. And they're not shooting the ball well either, are they?
No, not at all.
I mean, all you need to know is that that's all I know. Is that they're just not shooting, and that's it. You know, game over. You know, if you can't hit shots, it's over. Now, I don't know what kind of miracle they're going to need here at the end, but you know what's going to happen? They're not going to get it. They're shooting 38% in a game. It's over. You know, the Warriors are shooting 47%, 50% from three. They've hit 15 of 30 from three. 8 of 9 from the line, so they're almost perfect there. And then, you know, you got 27% from downtown for Portland. What do you need to know? I mean, the only thing they're doing well is rebounding. That's it. What else have they done well? I mean, they got 19 turnovers. The only thing they've done well is they haven't fouled the Warriors all night. But when you get Curry with, you know, 33 and Thompson 19, they won't lose a game with those two having those kind of games, you know, 30 and 20 something each of them. It you know, they're putting up almost 60, 65, 70 points. It's over. They're not losing to anybody. I don't care who it is. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Nobody wants to admit it. You know what's funny is everyone, all these Nimrods think they're going to beat them. It's so funny. Everybody thinks they're going to beat them. You know what I mean? It's just so funny to me. You know what it is? Jimmy Johnson, if you don't like it, beat them. That's the thing. They all talk about that they're going to beat them, and they all think they're going to beat them, but none of them can beat them. That's it. It's like, this is, I almost feel like Carver has right. It's inevitable. It's just inevitable that it's all a waste of Pharrell and time. The entire thing is a waste of time. Because I want, listen, I'll be rooting for whoever, Milwaukee, Toronto, I don't care who it is. I'll root for anyone to beat them. But do you really honestly feel like anyone can beat them? Like, don't you think, like, do you think the Bucks will go out here and melt down in this arena? Or do you think they'll go out there and win?
I don't see anybody beating the Warriors.
Do you think Toronto goes out there and melts down in that arena or wins?
I think Milwaukee would give them a better series than Toronto, but neither of them are beating the Warriors.
Is Portland melting like an ice cream cone right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a tough spot for them. They just played a seven-game series with Denver. They're not as good as the Warriors. They're not even in the same class as the Warriors. Nobody is. That was the NBA Western Conference Finals, that Houston-Golden State series, bottom line.
Yeah,
the winner of that series was beating Portland.
You're right. Austin in Texas, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, for real. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Man, I am just so, so sick of watching my Dallas Mavericks always get the short end of the freaking stick when it comes to the lottery. I'm just, it's got me to the point where the Pelicans, they had a 6% chance.
You guys are never, like, you guys are rarely ever even in the lottery, just the last couple of years, and they didn't have a pick in this thing, did they? I mean, they had like it was protected.
It was protected 1 through 5. So if we got the top 5, which we had a 26% chance of doing.
Well, listen, we had, you know, in New York, we had way more than that, and we still didn't get it. So, like, what, are we supposed to cry for you? Like, you guys had,
I
you had,
completely understand,
but
man.
You still had a big chance, and you didn't get it. You lose. It is, you know what? We both lose, right? So just have a drink, you know, smoke a doobie. I mean, honestly, like, what are you gonna do? Like, it's over.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, at least you won a championship. I mean, go back, watch the highlights of it, and kiss your wife. Because, like, I was 5 years old when the Knicks won, okay? So that's how long it's been here. So at least you have one with Dirk. That's all I have to say.
Man,
I mean,
I'm right there with you on that one.
Look, you got a good football team. You got a hockey team that just went deep. You got a, I think exciting future with, you know, Porzingis and what you have down there on that team. If, you know, Porzingis isn't killed by the Russian mob, and I'm not even joking. Like, I don't even know what he was doing in that fight in Latvia. It's pretty scary stuff. But that kid's got to, you know, now he's got to grow up because he's, you know what happened to him? He got all star Pharrellard up in New York. So what happened is, Austin, they treated him like a superstar here in New York, right? So he was like a glorified, rarefied air. He was up in this stratosphere of like he couldn't do any wrong. He was on a red carpet ride, the magic carpet ride, the entire time he was in New York. They gave him fame and fortune, right? He's a stud. And everyone, you know, just sucked up to him like no one's business. The media, everybody. Fans just fell over for this guy. So what does he do? He ends up in Dallas, right? And then we all know he blew his knee out. So we never saw him play again in New York. And then he goes down there. And what does he do? He goes home and gets in some bar brawl in Latvia. So, and he's all beat up and bloodied. So this isn't good. And I think that he needs to come back to Dallas. This is my opinion. Come back to Dallas and start focusing on your rehab, your PT, whatever it is. Get back on the floor, play basketball, because if he keeps hanging around Latvia and Russians and nightclubs, I think he'll be dead soon. Forget about playing in the NBA. He'll be dead. Because if he went to a bar the other night and got his face beat in, what do you think is going to happen the next time? Someone else is going to start up on him in a bar because they know you can beat his ass because he's a skinny twig and he's not a tough guy. He was never tough in the paint. He's a three-shot chucker is what he is. All he does is stand outside and shoot bombs, and he blocks shots. That's it. He's not physical at all. He needs to go to Dallas. He needs to grow up. He needs to start practicing and training and get his game going and try to win a championship for the Mavericks, because all this stuff about going to nightclubs and thinking you're Joe Namath and everything, because he thinks, I'm telling you, am I wrong, Carver? This guy thinks he's some kind of celebrity. He really does. He was in New York, and they gave him all this high life, and he thinks he's better than everybody, and he really isn't Shaq. He isn't anything. He's nothing. You know, most people here, I'll be honest with you, just so people can hear me loud and clear, most people here think he's a P, okay? Do you understand what that means? Inject, you know, wussy, P, whatever you want to call him. That's what they think of him here. Am I wrong, Carver High? Most people here don't think he's tough.
Correct.
They just think he's a shot chucker. That's all he is. He blocks shots and chucks 30-footers. And if he's off, you're not winning. If he's on, you could win some games. But did they ever win with Porzingis in New York?
Never.
No.
At this point, have they won with just about anybody in New York past 1994?
No. So do you think that he's overrated?
Yeah, I think he was. I mean,
and
obviously,
do you think he thinks he's some superstar?
Yeah, he absolutely does. I mean, the problem is right now that he was great. He has a lot of talent. But now you have an injury history. You have to worry about him. Can he stay healthy?
Listen, if you put Doncic with that guy, they should win. That's it. That's all there is to it, because he can flat out play. I will not deny that Porzingis can play. He can run. He can shoot. He can block shots. But if you're looking for a tough guy, some physical rebounding tough guy badass, you got the wrong guy. He's soft as a pillow. I mean, he's as soft as a pillow. The only thing he's got going for him is he's so tall, right? He's so long. I mean, this guy literally can stick his hand in the net, standing still, under the basket. You understand? He's like 7'3", isn't he? He's enormous. So he just goes like this. He's dunking. You understand? 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, the great Joe Micheletti of NBC Sports joins us on Mother's Day. You know, Joe, like, finally got to be home and like, you know, tell everyone he loves them, the wife, the daughter, everybody's, you know, Joe's got so many responsibilities. And then what happened was is that his wife threw a piece of cake at his face after he said that Happy Mother's Day, because she said, you're never home. All you do is go to hockey games. So see you later, Joe. And then Joe's like, listen, I didn't even go to the first two games of the Western Conference Final, honey. I love you. And now he's going to game 3 because she sent him packing. Is any of that true, Joe?
Some of it. I'll tell you what really happened, Scotty, is that when we finished the last round, game seven, I hadn't seen my grandkids down in Arizona, and you know all about them, Mike and Allison, and they've
right.
got four kids,
right.
and twins that are under five. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to stop down there, and I'm going to see them for a day, and then I'm going to head home for Mother's Day. And my wife said to me, don't you dare come home. She says, those grandkids need to see you, and your daughter needs to see you, and Mike needs to see you, so spend an extra day. Don't worry about me. Get home for Monday, and we'll have dinner on Monday night. So that's what I did. So I ended up taking a red-eye home from Arizona on Sunday night. I got in yesterday morning. My wife picked me up at the airport. We spent the day together, and I watched the Blues last night late and flew to St. Louis today. So that's the kind of wife I have.
So you're
I'm a lucky guy.
Joe, are you telling me that Mo and your daughter have had four kids now?
They got four. They got twins. Their twins are going to be five in July.
Jeez.
They're a boy and a girl, and then their daughter is going to be three in August, Reese, and then they've got a 6.5-month-old boy named Luca. And I'll tell you what a household that is.
So Luca, was he named after the kid Doncic that's playing for the Mavs?
I don't think so.
But he should have been. That kid's got a great game. That guy's got all kinds of game. So, hey, Joe, what did you think when you watched the Blues the other night, even up that series?
I wasn't surprised. I really
Me neither.
Wasn't because the Blues have been a better road team than they have been a home team. And so it's also been a team, as you well know, Scotty, because you follow this as much as anybody, that if you do what they did from January 3rd on, where they were the last place team in the National Hockey League and have gotten to this point, you know that there's something going on there, right? You know that one loss or one negative thing or a couple of negative things that happen are not going to deter this team. And so for them to come out, I thought defensively they played really well. The last half of the game, they hardly gave San Jose anything. And to get the type of production that they're getting from players throughout the lineup that maybe you wouldn't think, like Bortuzzo ends up scoring the winning goal last night. And so it's a team that, you know, through Craig Berube, who's done just a magnificent job of coaching this team once he took over, and the play of Jordan Binnington, their rookie goaltender. And they've just they found the right recipe. Are they going to win this series? I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me if they did, though, because there's something special going on in St. Louis.
Yeah, no doubt. I picked them on Monday night as well in that game. Joe Micheletti, the legend on NBC, with us on the bench. I think, you know, I got to tell you, Jaden Schwartz has taken his game to a whole new level. I never saw him play like this ever before in the league. Now, some people say they've seen it, the skill. I've never really experienced as much as I have over the last month. I thought he, Dunn, Sundqvist, all those guys, you know, they all scored, had big games, and I thought Bertuzzo had the game winner. Very impressive. Bennington's been impressive. But it's that Schwartz guy that has blown me away over the last 30 days or so, playing every other night and putting up just dramatic numbers. What do you think of him?
Scotty, there are so many people that have met him over the years and that have heard from friends of his that are so happy to see him get the success that he's getting, because he's always been one of these players that you would love to have on your team. Gets along with his teammates and might be the hardest working player on the team. And so he's not a very big guy, but you know, he'll go to the tough areas to score. And this is a guy that really over the course of his career has had some real serious injuries. And I'll just tell you a story about it was in January. I had an NBC game with St. Louis and Nashville, I think it was. And I asked Craig Berube about that, because at the time, Schwartz had only had two goals, I think, almost through December. So the first half of the year, he's only scored two goals. And so I asked Craig Berube, what are you trying to do now with him, trying to get him going again? And he said, he's had so many injuries. but I just keep pushing him to do the things that he used to do as a player, and that's play tough, play hard, take a hit to make a play. And he says he's getting back to playing that way, and now all that hard work has really paid off. He only finished the season with 11 goals total, and now has 9 in the playoffs, and he's been their best player without question.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My favorite, Joe Micheletti on the bench. What about, I got to tell you, Couture, those 2 goals. But this guy has been doing it for me, you know, forever. Like, I've seen this guy. I mean, what has he got now? 100-plus playoff points in his career. You know, I mean, he's really turned into a special player. Like, he and Pavelski, you know, I know Joe's been through a lot physically and all his teeth got knocked out, everything else. But, I mean, Couture just continues to become a massive stud in the NHL.
Yeah, you know what? He's one of those players, Scotty, that – when the regular season ends and somebody says, okay, it's time for the playoffs to start, he says, okay, I'll be better. I'm just going to be a better player in the playoffs. And that's not to say he hasn't had outstanding regular seasons. He has. But this is just a playoff-type player. That's what he is. When the game's on the line and you need to do something to help your team and you need to elevate your game, just about every game, that's the way he plays in the playoffs. And you know, he's only missed the playoffs once in his career at San Jose, and he started in 2010, and there's only one other player in the National Hockey League that has scored more playoff goals than him since 2010, and that's Alexander Ovechkin. So, you know, it's pretty classy company to keep. And it's really been interesting to not only watch him, but to listen to him the last couple of rounds in particular, because he said it again after game 2 the other night, how disappointed he was in the way the team's playing. They don't have enough players that are stepping up and getting it done. They're playing against a really good team, and if they don't get going, they're not going to win this series. And that guy is just brutally honest. But the thing about him, it's one thing to say things, and it's another thing to be able to say it and then go back it up. And he's the one who backs it up.
Lastly, Joe, let me ask you. The Bruins won again tonight. They're up 3-0 in that series. Marchand is like a mosquito. He did it again. He scored tonight. And Rask has been unbelievable. Truly, 6 straight wins. They are the epitome of the hottest team left standing in this tournament. If you ask me, like, it's funny. They're just winning every game they play. But, you know, we've brought up the fact that all these teams that got swept had time off. Like, the Islanders had time off, then Carolina swept them. Carolina had time off, now Bruins look like they're going to sweep them. Do you think if they finish them off this quickly in that West Series, because you know that series you're doing is going to drag on, that Boston will be at some kind of a disadvantage and that their hot streak will cool off and melt?
Well, I don't know if they'll continue to win every game. I doubt that if they make it to the final, Scott, but I would say this, as late as they are now in the playoffs, I think the rest is a positive. I think the rested team gets an edge. And I go back to last season when Vegas, you know, they win the first series, they sweep LA, win 4-0, then they win the next series in 5. And so now they're getting rest, and Winnipeg and Nashville are pounding the heck out of each other. I think the rest helps. I don't think that those teams lost this year or losing this year in the playoffs because of rest. I think they're losing because of they're getting beat by a better team.
So, Joe, I can't wait to see that series resume in St. Louis. I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see you call the game. As always, you're unequaled in the business. Make sure you tell Mo Farrell sends his love. I miss him, and I'm so happy for him and his new family. I think it's just fantastic. I'm always rooting for him. Tell him I love him, and we all miss him here. And we love you too, Joe. Thanks. Have fun in St. Louis.
Love you too, Scotty. You're a good man, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Joe Micheletti, the one and only on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so the Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Kawhi Leonard, certainly, of the Raptors, who dropped 41 and hit the game-winning shot in their Game 7 win over the 76ers on Sunday night in Toronto. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies to keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Conference finals all weekend, hoops and hockey. PharrellOnTheBench.com is all over it. Hitting games left and right like the Bruins tonight. Check out best picks, best price, buck a day, son. Best return. Every game, every play, every day. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter as well, at OnTheBench CBS, and also at Pharrell's Picks. And at Scott Farrell. But PharrellOnTheBench.com is what you need to sign up for. I think you'll dig it. And I gave you the number, right? So, Russ in Ohio, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Farrell, great to be on right now tonight, man.
Hey, man.
Incredible night in the NBA. I absolutely loved it. I loved the flattening of the NBA lottery odds. We got the New Orleans Pelicans getting the good karma. They get Anthony Davis, a running mate in New Orleans. I honestly think if I'm AD, even though Shams of the stadium came out and said that he still wants to be traded, I would still give myself an opportunity to play with a transcendent talent in Zion Williamson. I'll let you talk about that. And as well, I want to touch on Damian Lillard. 19 points, 4 of 12 from the field in this game one, a game one that you almost have to take if you're the Portland Trailblazers against a transcendent all-time type of dynasty-like team in the Golden State Warriors. They have the greatest backcourt of all time, and they have Enes Kanter not even coming out and contesting threes. Love being on the show, man. I'll let you get on those topics.
Thanks, Russ. Well, first of all, let me just get this out of the way. The Warriors kicked the Blazers' ass tonight, okay? So that's just a foregone conclusion now. I mean, what I saw tonight was an absolute disaster. Literally, I'm not even kidding you when I tell you this. Every time I looked at the TV, because I'm in here doing a show, I can't just stare at the TV, you understand? So every single time I looked, they were hitting a shot. I never once saw them miss not one shot. I know they didn't shoot 100%, but I never once saw them miss a shot. I'm not even lying. Every single shot I saw them take, they made. That's all you need to know. Like, I looked at the Warriors tonight. Every time they shot it, it went in. Every time I looked, I mean, I only looked every 5 minutes, but every single time, I never once saw him miss a shot. Not once. I saw the Blazers miss 50 shots. So that's all you need to know. They're not good enough to beat the Warriors. That's all there is to it. They'll be lucky if they win a game or two. If they win two, it'll be a miracle. I hope they win seven. I hope it goes seven and they win four. I hope, I pray to God it goes seven and they win. I pray to God they win the next game. Does anyone on the face of the earth think they're going to win the next game? Secondly, because I sure don't, they got their ass beat tonight. They're not winning game two either. They got their ass beat. And they're playing with their, like, the most humble lineup ever. This is their worst version of themselves, right? It really is. They're 28-1 when Curry plays and Durant doesn't. Do you know that? Do you know they're 18-1 in game ones under Kerr? I mean, they shouldn't even have played the game tonight. They should have just given them the win and taken the night off. You know what I mean? Like, you win, we're going to rest, we'll see you on Thursday. And then we'd rather, we like our chances better losing, not even showing up for the game. You win, we'll play game two. We'll only play a six-game series. We need a day off to rest. Because tonight, that performance was pathetic. That was pathetic. Their effort tonight was just pathetic. So nice job in Denver, and you vomited tonight. Everybody in Portland knows it's true. I love you. Don't get all emotional, because I know how emotional people get. They think I'm, like, picking on their little, you know, team here. I could care less about your team, okay? So you played terrible. There you go. Congratulations. Nice job. Secondly, the Davis thing, like, this guy's talking about him, like, changing his mind and going back to play for New Orleans. They didn't even want him. Like, he basically pulled his pants down and cabled on the entire city. Did he not? Did he not just say, like, I'm done here. I'm out of here. Get me out of here. I don't want to play here at all. So now what? He wants to play because Zion's going there? Wrong. The first thing they'll do is trade him.
Yeah, the reports are already out there tonight that he still wants to be traded. Look, that's not going to be repaired. The way that the last 4 months or whatever it was went down between him and the fan base in New Orleans, like, you can't bring that guy back now. You have to trade him this summer. That's just the way that it is. He is not coming back to the Pelicans. End of story. It's just not.
The bottom line is that they're going to build their franchise and their ticket sales on Zion Williamson. There's nothing else. And then you got Holiday. That's it. And Randall. There's your team.
And if they whatever they get in the Davis trade, which is going to be significant.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah. And that could include if it's the Knicks or the Lakers, you know, the third or the fourth pick in the draft.
And they went from 300-1 to 25-1 now to win the NBA championship.
Yeah, slow down with that.
Well, that's fine. I'm just telling you. But what are you going to do? 25-1 now before they even trade him. What are they going to be when they trade him and get the entire Lakers roster? They're going to be 5-1, aren't they? If they get Kuzma, Ingram, and a 4 and Zion Williamson, they're going to go to 5-1. Mark my words.
Right. Lakers getting the number 4 pick is the worst thing that could happen to all those guys on the Lakers. You might as well start looking for real estate in New Orleans right now, because probably 3 out of 4 you were gone.
Listen, it's a very exciting city. It's a very cool place. There's no denying it. But I don't – is it better – I'm just asking. Is it better to visit or to live there? It's definitely better to just visit, right? Am I wrong? Do the people that live there, do they – I mean, I think they adore it. They think it's the greatest place on earth. And I've enjoyed always going there. I'm not sure I could live there. That's just me. I'm not even being mean when I say that. I don't know. Do people think it's that cool down there or what? Like, everyone that lives there, it's like the Strip. They don't go to Bourbon Street every day, do they? People that live in Vegas don't go to the Strip unless they have to. Literally. The people that live there go when there's an absolute must, like a concert that they're going to or an event with their friends to meet people that are in from out of town or whatever. But for over their dead body, will they ever go to the Strip unless they have to, right? That's it. The people that live there never go there. Trust me, I lived there twice. All right, so same thing with New Orleans. Do you think people, you tell me New Orleans, call me up. Do you all go hang out down on Bourbon Street every night of the week? I don't think so. They know that's a tourist trap, right? Is that not what it is? Mike in South Carolina.
What's up for?
Hey man.
What's up for all? Can I get a double Jameson, please, sir?
God, I need a double JMO too. Honestly, like I'm so upset about it. I'll get over it at some point tomorrow, but not tonight.
This is ridiculous. This is an embarrassment for the NBA. I mean, what were they in a Holiday Inn like conference room? Like, what, the optics of it was bad. It's an embarrassment. Just the way it was handled. You change up the lottery system. You make it, you know, maybe you try to get rid of tanking, but all you did was just make the whole thing a farce.
I don't think I don't know about that. All I know is I'm being honest. I don't think it's a farce. I think what it is that I think that the one thing that I see bad, now I don't know if he said it, okay, so I don't know exactly, but if it's true that guy said he wanted to I'd rather play in New York than New Orleans, did he say it that way, or did he just say, I wanted to be a Knick? Because if he said that, anything about, like, I don't want to go there, like a John Elway or an Eli Manning or Eric Lindros, I don't want to play there. I mean, he didn't do that, did he? He just said
he did nothing like that.
He just wanted to be a Knick. Is that right? He thought he was going to New York. Is that what he said?
The reports are he was rooting for New York.
Okay, he was rooting for New York.
Not like openly. He wasn't sitting in the chair, like, no, clapping when the Knicks came up on the thing as they being in the
But
top
did he
four.
Say that he wanted to be a Knick?
I don't believe that he went out and said, I want to be a Knick. I believe people behind the scenes said he was rooting to go to the Knicks.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. It doesn't matter what he thinks because he's going to the Pelicans. So that's that. And he's going there. And that's that. And there's no way on the face of the earth that they're trading him or anything else. He's going there. He's going to play there. You know why? Because they lost Davis. They're going to trade Davis, right? He doesn't want to be there. So they're going to start over from scratch with Zion Williamson, which is a absolute cash cow, moneymaker waiting to happen. That's what that is. That is, they just hit the lottery, not in getting him. In he's the Powerball. I mean, they just won $700 billion because they're going to make so much money off of this guy. It's not even funny, and he's going to be – I mean, I don't even know. I hope he doesn't like, seafood and gambling, because if he's going to go out and eat all that jambalaya, he's going to get fat. All I know is he's going to be King Tut in that town. He's going to be more than even AD. Anthony Davis wanted no part of – did he not? He didn't want any part of being famous down there or being some celebrity in New Orleans. Am I wrong? He just played ball. That guy just plays ball. He's real private, right? Am I wrong? This guy, Zion, they're going to be pulling his arms off. They're going to be pulling him in all directions, right, to get him to do things down there. They're going to be pulling at him like whether. But in New York, it would have been worse. I don't even know. In New York, he would have been. I don't even know what he would have been. Because look what they did. Let's look just for real quick. Look what they did with this guy, Matt Harvey, in this town. They destroyed that guy's life. This New York City destroyed him. Did it not? They called him the Dark Knight and all this other BS. Do you remember how they turned him into like some superhero? And every time he pitched, he'd be on the front and back page of the tabloid, literally front and the back. Like he was some kind of Tom Seaver. Like he was God. The kid could never live up to any of it. I mean, they destroyed him.
He loved it. He went all for it.
Oh, he loved being famous, but he was never a pitcher.
Right. The problem is that he got too into the nightlife, the partying, the supermodels and all that stuff. He went for that aspect of it, and that ruined him more than the attention.
Well, that's what Porzingis happened to him, and the same thing would have happened to Zion Williamson. That this town will suck the life out of you if you're some famous dude. He won't even be able to leave his condo. Without being a fifth, do you understand? Did you see what they did to Michael Cohen when he left his apartment to go to prison? There must have been 7,000 cameras in his face. That's what every morning is going to be like for Zion Williamson if he would have lived in New York City, trying to walk out to get a bagel. I'm not even kidding. In New Orleans, they're going to pull at him from every angle. But, you know, get ready. That's where he's going.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.